This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is a wonderful day to be gathered together through the power of the Holy Spirit, whether we are here in the sanctuary or worshiping over live stream. We are united as one in this time of worship, and I'm so glad to welcome all of you into this time together. I'd like to invite everyone here to take a moment and let us know of your presence. If you would register your attendance, that would be great. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. And if you could pass those down and back again. And for those of you sitting on the center aisle, if you'd be willing to tear out all the pages that have been filled and put them on top, that would be a great help to our volunteers. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link you can click on that will allow you to register very easily. We've got several opportunities in the upcoming days to worship and fellowship together. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, children and families and everybody's invited to the four-story theater to watch How the Grinch Stole Christmas and get in the Christmas spirit. And that, again, will be in the four-story theater. On Tuesday night, I've been announcing this wrong because I just work here, but the longest night service is actually on Tuesday night instead of this night, and I've been announcing that wrong, so I'm sorry. It's on the longest night, the 21st at 6:30, here in the sanctuary and also over live stream. And this is a service that is prayerful and contemplative and gives us an opportunity, especially those of us who may be finding the holidays a difficult time due to the loss of a loved one or other concerns in our lives. This service is a place to bring all of that and to feel Christ's comfort and peace. So we hope that you'll come, bring a friend, let others know about this service. Our Christmas Eve services are at 4 o'clock and 10:30 p.m. The 4 o'clock service is especially geared to children and their families. They have their costumes, and it's a lot of fun. Both services include communion. And then on the Sunday after Christmas, the 26th, we'll have one worship service at 10 o'clock with no Sunday school. I want to make sure everybody comes on time to that service. That is it as far as announcements this morning, but I want to take a special opportunity today to express our thanks as a congregation to one of our very dedicated and faithful volunteers. So I'm going to invite Barbara Cragg to come forward. Barbara has served as an usher in the 11 o'clock service for 27 years and has served as head usher for 22 years. And just let us know about a month ago that she was going to be retiring from that position. And when someone has given themselves every single Sunday for so many years, I think we have an opportunity to express our thanks. And so the 11 o'clock usher team has a gift for you, Barbara. And as we celebrate you and give thanks to God for your ministry, I also want to mention and celebrate Charles and Janet Hooper, who've been part of your 11 o'clock ushering team for many, many years as well. And Janet sang in the choir for 40 years, and Charles Hooper taught preschool Sunday school for 27 years. They are not attending right now because of COVID precautions, but hopefully they're worshiping with us. And we just want to say God bless you and thank you for helping us welcome new people every single Sunday. Let's thank Barbara and thank God for her. Well, people like Barbara are retiring after many years of service. We need new folks to step up and help us do this ministry. So if you feel called to be one of the folks who greets people on Sunday mornings or to any other ministry, I hope you'll reach out to me or any of our staff members and we'll help you get plugged in. It is now time for us to open ourselves to the story of Mary, her visit with Elizabeth, and the song that we call the Magnificat. So in this time of worship, let us open our hearts and minds to hear what God has to say to us through this ancient and powerful story.
Thank you. souls magnify the Lord, and our spirits rejoice in God our Savior. God's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. Come, for God is doing a new thing.
We light this Lord candle on our Advent wreath as a sign of Christ's peace coming into our world. Hear these words of the prophet Micah. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace.
The gifts of the Advent season are hope, peace, love, and joy. Let us now make our confessions before God, that by God's grace we might receive these gifts in abundance, and in turn share them freely with others. When our spirits despair and we deny how beloved we are, forgive us, O God. When we ignore the mighty things you have done, when we doubt your mercy, forgive us, O God. When we are proud in the thoughts of our hearts, when our power rests on oppression of others, when our wealth causes others to go hungry, forgive us, O God. Help us, your servants, according to the promises you have made. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation in love in whichever ways you feel most comfortable. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Webb White and Leah London bring their son to God before the community of faith for baptism.
This is truly an exciting morning. Webb and Leah were married here by me not too long ago. And then also Webb's family has four generations represented here today and a long family history with this church. So this is truly a blessing this morning. Through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Webb and Leah, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people?
We do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life?
We will.
Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news.
Live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with the community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. As we prepare to give thanks over this water, there is some water from the Jordan that is part of this water today, and so it makes it extra special for this family and for us. So let us pray together. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Amen. What name is given this child?
Jack Harrison White.
Jack Harrison White. Hey, Jack.
Jack?
Jack? Here, you can turn. Yeah, there you go. Hey, Jack, how are you? Jack Harrison White, I baptize you in the name of the Father, our Creator, Christ, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our Sustainer. Amen. All right, if everyone would place hands on him. Jack Harrison, the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born by water and the Spirit, you may grow to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. And now, if you all will move to the center here, and we will welcome Jack to this family of Christ. And we will, Jack, if you want to look out at them, that way they can say their vows to you. Not today, he says.
A little shy. Will the congregation please stand and face Jack Harrison? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Jack Harrison to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Jack Harrison, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, 39 through 55. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to have a special moment with any of the children who are worshiping with us. If you're here in the sanctuary and want to come join me up here, I'd love to see you. And if you're worshiping online, just move a little bit closer to your screens and we'll have a moment together. Good to see everybody. Come on up. Thanks for coming. Welcome, welcome. Glad to see you. Come on up, CJ. Glad to see everybody this morning. I want to tell you a story about a very special friendship. The church where I worked before I came to West End was across town in a part of town called Franklin. Some of you may have been through Franklin before. And one Sunday morning, there was a woman who came to visit the church for the very first time. Her name was Miss Irene. She had just moved into a house really close to the church. And she had gone to a Methodist church way across town, but now that she lived next to our church, she wanted to visit and see if it might become her church home. So she came to church all by herself. She didn't know anybody. And she sat down in her chair and started to sing the hymn. And suddenly she felt tap, 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 tap on her shoulder. And she turned around, and behind her there was a family sitting and a little girl named Anna, who was maybe about your age, was just patting on her. And through the whole service, she just patted on Miss Irene. And you know what? That meant so much to Miss Irene because she didn't know anybody. And suddenly, she felt really special. Well, she introduced herself to that family. And the next Sunday, Anna sat right next to Miss Irene. And they sat next to each other for years and had a very special friendship. In fact, they still have a special friendship. I saw on Facebook the other day that Anna just got her driver's license, which means she just turned 16. And the first person to write congratulations on Facebook was, guess who? Miss Irene. There's something really special about church. It's a place where we can have friendships with people who are a lot older than us or a lot younger than us, who are different from us, and we may not know them in any other part of our lives. But in church, we're friends because of the love of God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the very special friendships that we have in church, like Miss Irene and Anna. We thank you for our Bible story that tells us about Mary and Elizabeth, who were very different in so many ways, many, many years apart in age, but you made them friends and gave them to each other. Help us to be good friends to others, and thank you for the many, many people who love us in this place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you all so much. Hopefully we'll see you Christmas Eve, but if not, Merry Christmas. See you soon. Some of you know that David and I have a son named Tate, who is a sophomore in college. He goes to Furman University, and he just came home this past week on Wednesday, and I think we've been to the grocery store 3 times since he got home. Boy's drinking a lot of milk and eating a lot of snacks. It's good to have him home. But a couple of weeks ago, when he was still at school, supposedly studying for exams, David and I were sitting in the living room, and David's phone rang. Now, my phone was in another room in another part of the house, so I was a little startled when David answered his phone, and I heard Tate's voice say, "Where's Mom?" Not hello, not just, "Where's Mom?" And I thought, oh my goodness, my son needs his mama. What's going on? So I took the phone. I was like, "Tate, what's up? What's wrong?" He's like, "Okay, Mom, I'm going to put you on speakerphone because we're having an argument about the Bible." He was hanging out in somebody's dorm room, and they'd gotten in this conversation about the Christmas story. And Tate said, "Okay, so what animal did Mary ride from Nazareth to Bethlehem?" And I was like, "Tate, I hate to say this, but we don't know. It's not in the story." "Oh, are you kidding me? Check it, check it." So, of course, I had the Bible right next to me, right next to my chair in the living room. And I opened it up to the second chapter of Luke, and no, just says they traveled to Bethlehem, no animal mentioned. Darn it. So he hangs up. 2 minutes later, he calls back. "Okay, what was the terrain like? What animal would it have been?" If, you know, he's trying to get me to resolve this bet that he's making with these friends. So, unfortunately, I couldn't help him because I said most likely it was a donkey because they were poor and they wouldn't have been able to afford a camel. He had voted for camel, so obviously I disappointed him gravely. But I was so proud, you know, that my son would call me with a theological emergency. Of course, I think it was actually theological flirting, but I'm not going to take that any further. But the truth is, there are many things that we just don't know about this Christmas story, or about a lot of the stories in the Bible. There are things that we've heard and traditions that have been passed down to us, but when we look at what's actually written, it's not necessarily there. In fact, there are only 2 Gospels out of the 4 that tell anything about Jesus' birth at all. Matthew's Gospel really talks more about Joseph. It's only in Luke's Gospel that we learn about Mary and we hear the story more from her perspective. But even with all that Luke tells us, I find myself with lots of questions that the text just doesn't answer. When we find Mary in our scripture reading today, she has just been visited by the angel Gabriel. And the angel has told her that she is favored and that God has chosen her to carry the Messiah in her womb. And she has just said to God, "Yes, let it be with me according to your word." And the very next thing the text says is that she went with haste to visit her relative Elizabeth. Well, there's a lot left out there. How did Mary feel about all of this? Was she afraid? Was she excited? Was she anxious? Did she tell her parents right away? Did they shame her and reject her? Did she have a chance to tell Joseph? How did all of this unfold in these moments? We don't have that story. What we do know is that she ran with haste to see Elizabeth. Now, why would she do that? One possible answer is that she is scared, that she perhaps doesn't feel safe in her own community right now. When the word begins to get out that she is with child and yet unmarried, there could be a great scandal for herself and for her parents. She could be shunned and even stoned to death. So yes, perhaps she is afraid to stay at home. But I also wonder if her haste in going to see Elizabeth was more the movement of the Holy Spirit, if she was perhaps driven by the Spirit to go and see Elizabeth. Because you see, the angel Gabriel had told Mary in this moment of annunciation that not only was Mary going to be carrying a child through the power of the Holy Spirit, but her relative Elizabeth, who is beyond childbearing years, the one who was said to have been barren, is now expecting a child that will be the prophet to prepare the way for the Messiah. So Mary knows that she's not alone. She's not the only one who's in on this amazing thing that God is doing, the thing that's about to be born into the world. And so maybe she goes to visit the only other person in the world who could understand. Maybe she goes with joy and expectation. Now, who knows once she gets there how she's feeling? If she's about to step into the household of Zechariah and Elizabeth, maybe there's a moment of hesitation, not quite sure how she'll be received. Now, to be sure, it's early enough on in her pregnancy that she's not showing. There's nothing obvious that will let them know that she's expecting a child outside of marriage. But none of those concerns even matter, because as soon as she steps into the household, Elizabeth sees her and rejoices. She knows right away what God has done, because the child that she is carrying leaps in her womb. This child that is to be John the Baptist recognizes the Messiah in Mary's womb. And so Elizabeth rejoices and embraces Mary and says, "Welcome. You bless me by coming here." These women share in this moment of mutual blessing. Mary is blessed to be received by Elizabeth without judgment, without hesitation. And Elizabeth is blessed to be visited by the mother of her Lord, to be included in this great plan of salvation that God is unfolding. And so now these two women, along with Zechariah, who's in the household as well, these three contain and hold this holy secret for 3 more months. Mary stays there with Elizabeth and Zechariah, and they care for her, and together they dream and imagine about what God is doing through them. And Mary sings a song. After she has been so welcomed by Elizabeth, she opens her mouth and begins to sing this song that we call the Magnificat, where in the first part she sings about how blessed she feels that God has chosen her, a lowly, poor peasant girl, to bring the Messiah into the world. And then she turns her vision outward, not just giving thanks for what God has done in her life, but proclaiming to the world with the voice of a prophet what God is doing in the world. He has brought down the mighty with his arm. He has lifted up the lowly, fed the hungry, and sent the rich away empty. She announces this great plan of salvation, this great reversal of justice and peace, where the poor and the lowly and the outcast and the downtrodden are lifted up, and the arrogant and the proud are sent away empty. Mary sings a song of justice and peace. And I think she's able to sing it more loudly and more confidently because she has been so loved and nurtured and held by Elizabeth. But here's something interesting. Now, we don't have any of the original copies of these books of the Bible. So the original book of Luke, we don't know where it is anymore. What we have are copies of copies, ancient manuscripts of these stories. And in some of the ancient manuscripts, most of them say that Mary sang this song when she and Elizabeth came together, but some of them say it was Elizabeth. Elizabeth sang the Magnificat. So isn't it beautiful to think that out of the friendship of these two women, the fellowship they shared, this song of praise and justice and peace came forth? You know, there's a lot about this relationship between Mary and Elizabeth that reminds me of the church. In fact, if you think about it, Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah were the first church, the first to gather around the good news of Jesus Christ coming into the world. The first to believe that God's great plan of salvation for all humankind and all of the earth was being revealed in Jesus the Christ. And so they came in these unique and unusual friendships and relationships. Elizabeth, who was in her 40s probably, and Mary, who was maybe 13. Elizabeth and Zechariah, who were of priestly families and great status and perhaps great wealth. And Mary, who was from a nothing town of Nazareth, a peasant, poor, of no great family at all. But they come together in friendship, mutual love and blessing for each other. And then they face outward and sing a song of God's justice. Is that not who we are as a church? The church includes people of all ages and life status and all across the world, many languages, people who might not otherwise know each other. That's a particular gift that the church can offer, I think, in our day. Where else can you come to become friends with someone who's four decades older than you, to be nurtured and mentored in the faith? Where else can I, as someone in my 50s, have a relationship with someone who's 14 and learn about what it's like to navigate this world as it is right now? A body of people we can come together with and bless each other and nurture each other and care for each other and recognize that together we hold this great knowledge of what God is up to in the world. And we nurture it and we share it and we celebrate it and then we take it out into the world to proclaim it. Mary, maybe Elizabeth, maybe Mary and Elizabeth, sang this ancient song of justice and peace. And today, as the church gathered, people of many ages, many walks of life, are called to sing that very song. Thanks be to God for the song and for the fellowship.
As people with an ancient song in our hearts, I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we join our voices together in our affirmation of faith, this historic Apostles' Creed found on 881 in the United Methodist Hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. And if you would like to share your prayers with our pastoral team so that we might pray for them throughout the week, you may do that in several ways. One way is to visit our website. So if you're worshiping with us online, or if you prefer to submit prayer requests electronically and you're with us in person, you can do that by going to our website and following the link that says Contact Us. You may also, if you're worshiping in the sanctuary with us, find one of the gray cards on the pew racks in front of you, and you may fill that prayer request out, and you can leave them in the boxes that are in the narthex and also in Reed Hall on your way out this morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Good morning, God. Our prayers rise to meet you today as the words of Mary still ring in our ears and resonate in our hearts. We remember that you are indeed our Savior, and you have been faithful and present across generations. As your mercy extends from generation to generation, we pray for our present world. Amid the very real hope of Advent and the promise of your coming to be with us, we continue to live in complicated and fractious times. Help us remember that generations before us have faithfully come through difficult ages. Bring comfort, healing, and a renewed promise to our communities so beleaguered by pandemic, environmental disaster, social unrest, and violence. Make us people of love and grace and healing. Shape our demeanors, our beliefs, our values, and our actions to be signs of your saving grace among us. Help us pray with our words, our hearts, our hands, and our feet. Lord of mighty deeds, Mary reminds us that you lift up the humble and fill the hungry with good things. So today we pray for all who find themselves in places of humility and need. We continue to pray for our friends and neighbors in Tennessee, Kentucky, and throughout the Southeast and the Midwest who are still in the early stages of cleanup and recovery following the deadly storms and tornadoes from just a little over a week ago. We pray for all who were impacted and for those involved in the ongoing response. We pray for our neighbors in Nashville who are experiencing homelessness and poverty in increasing numbers. We pray for individuals and churches and agencies that seek to bring relief. And we pray for our community leaders as they seek solutions to alleviate the root causes of endemic poverty and lack of housing. We pray for all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for those whose anxieties, worries, troubles, and losses loom large this time of year. We pray for ourselves as we strive this season to make room in our hearts and our lives for what matters most. We bring these and other prayers that are on our hearts and minds to you in a moment of silent prayer. Our spirits rejoice in you, our Savior and our God, as we pray as Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you simply to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed in the chat or on the screen. And for those of you worshiping in the sanctuary, you also may give online, but you can also leave physical offerings in the boxes in the narthex and in the back of the sanctuary and in Reed Hall as well, where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us offer our gifts and our tithes, our offerings and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
The Spirit brought Mary and Elizabeth together that they might encourage each other and then go forth to do what they were called to do. And so has the Spirit done with us, brought us together this day for encouragement and love and nurture, that we may go forth from this place and do what we are called to do. So go in that calling and in that peace. Amen.